I see her tonight.
Do so, you? I saw her yesterday. This dude is amazing. He's so awesome. What up, yo?
Yo.
What up, Jeff?
Yo.
Scattered Chaos Podcast. We're back here in live in the room. We've got a couple little guests here.
Yeah, we have to be good.
No, I already warned them I'm going to swear. So
no, we have to be good. They're young, impressionable adults. Young adults.
Their dad is Tariq.
I know. Well, we try to.
Like, seriously.
They're better than Tariq.
Like, well.
He's skilled.
He's skilled. They're better. Yeah. So welcome to the podcast room, kids. We're so excited to have you guys here. They have a day off today from school. But that's not why we're here today. Jeff, let's do a basic mental health update. How are you doing? So our big topic today is exciting, but let's like just kind of do a quick, you know, how you doing? What's new? What's your new routine? What have you changed in the last couple of weeks? Rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, I think this is the best I felt in a while, honestly. And it has a lot to do with you. The opportunity to, one, get my fat ass back in the gym.
Amen.
And like literally, I'm feeling it. Like I'm feeling good today. I feel really good. And Jesse kicked my ass this morning.
And Jesse gave you a fuck. He was like, "You look good today."
That was kind of weird.
You weren't sure how to take it.
I wasn't. No, because like, I don't weigh myself because it scares me.
Of course, I understand.
But I do like I notice like my chin and stuff. If it starts thinning down a little bit, then how I know.
Yeah,
I'm losing.
Face is definitely thinning.
Is it?
Yeah, I definitely see.
Even with the beard?
Yeah, I see you every day.
Okay,
so
that's progress.
Yeah, that's progress.
But that. Mental health wise,
yeah,
has been amazing.
That's amazing.
I mean, it really, you know, you're doing it too.
Yeah, 100%.
But the best part is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah,
which was
super fucking dope.
This was an amazing gift from my guy Dave here.
Yeah,
to get us some sessions with a hypnotherapist to help us deal with our PTS and our
Meredith
anxiety.
Meredith
is badass.
She's fucking phenomenal. But we'll talk about her because. She doesn't even know we're doing this.
Oh, she doesn't?
Not at all.
Don't we need to sign a release?
No, I'm not signing any release.
We should get her on a Zoom and have her talk about it.
Well, we will, but I wanted to preempt it with us talking about like firsthand and then bringing her in. Then she could talk about the scientific stuff.
Yeah.
But kind of the same line.
What about
me,
you? How are you doing?
Dude, we've been training with Jesse, 2 weeks now? This is our third week?
I think it's our third week, yeah.
The first week was great. Felt really good. And unfortunately had
it
to
hurt,
jump.
Though.
It hurt. And then unfortunately had to jump into travel for a whole week.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked. My drinking game is down. Haven't
noticeably.
Drank.
Noticeable difference.
Yeah.
In
and I got to thank my dog over here. I was at the airport on Friday and I was starting to, you know, feel a certain way. Really positive, but it was just like, hey, let's just have a shot. And he was like, yeah, how about we don't? And I was like, okay. And, you know, it was actually like such kind of revigorating that, you know, all it took was you say, let's not do it. And it was like, okay, let's not do it.
I felt like an old hag.
Yeah, but it was.
But we're in this together.
Yeah, we're doing this together. And it's like been phenomenal. I mean, I'm going on. I want to say 10 days, 11 days now, and not even like really, really worrying about it so much.
See?
You know, there's every once in a while, like, hey, I want to have a cocktail. But like, you know, I figure like I got to get to a point where having one cocktail is all I'm going to have.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet.
Right.
And so that's been great. Obviously, training with Jesse Burdick again has been phenomenal.
Badass dude.
Yeah. He started us off with like some of the most...
He fooled us, dude. He fooled me.
Yeah, he got you. I didn't. It hurt me too. Don't get me wrong. Part of it was like the high steps, and the getting the bands around your hips and starting to walk and you know pulling. You know you're moving muscles you probably have never done in a long time.
I didn't even know I had some of those muscles.
Oh, dude! And then I don't even know the names of all of them. And then we just did some basic. You know, weight training, nothing too exciting. I saw you today. You were doing a bunch of like just walking really with the weighted ball.
Yeah.
Which is dope because that will
help. That was hard, dude.
It will definitely help. It's hard because it builds that stamina. And, you know, it's funny because you start working out a little earlier than me because I'm having a hard time getting here on time being that I'm only 20 minutes away, but it means I have to get up 30 minutes more and blah, blah, blah. So Jesse and I have like, shut up with the violin,
wah.
Asshole. But we decided to stagger it, and it actually worked out really well because then we're not sitting on top of each other doing things. Right. And so Jesse was willing to stay a little bit longer to kind of help me offshoot that half an hour. But if you don't know who Jesse Burdick is, one of the probably one of the most famous powerlifters that's been around for a long time. Him and Mark Bell are really good friends. Check out Jesse Burdick. He's online everywhere. If you're online, also check out Mark Bell, a good friend of ours here at the studio. We love him. He's a great asset to us. Just he's always been around me for the last 5-6 years in my powerlifting life. And then today, I finally got to squatting again.
I saw you, dude. It makes me nervous because my knees are janky, but. But good for you.
Yeah,
your squats were deep for having knee surgery recently.
I know, it only did 45s on each side, and we did 5 sets of 3, and it felt really good. Just kind of getting into that motion of trying to like get low again.
Yeah.
And not have any pain.
I was surprised.
Yeah, and it, you know what? Zero pain. Felt great. Great job, Jesse. Like always.
He's a badass dude.
Dude, he's solid.
The thing about him that I love, I'm one of those people that. You tell me what to do, I'm down, I'm going, right?
Sure.
But he's so chill about it.
Right.
Like he wants you to do it right, mm-hmm. yet he'll encourage you, but you know he's a badass and he'll snap you around if need be.
Right. And also the other part of it is like he teaches you while you're doing the workout, you're also talking about nutrition.
Yeah.
You're talking about lifestyle. You're talking about everything because his story is phenomenal. I mean, he
needs to be in this chair.
He needs to be in this chair one day, and we're going to do it. We've done it. We did it way back when. But, like, it's different now because we've got this here and,
Right.
We'll talk about Jesse on another, but the reason we're here.
Let's do it.
Meredith.
Savior.
Yeah. So for most of you, most of you already know, Jeff and I battle PTS and some D and not D. That was a joke, but I was trying to be funny, but it didn't work.
I don't know.
But anyways, and so I was doing EMDR with probably one of the most recognizable EMDR doctor for a long time, and it worked really well.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where I was like, I wasn't feeling it anymore. I wasn't feeling... I know it was working, but it wasn't internally feeling good.
Right.
And I met who is now my business coach, Kimberly. And Kimberly works for Vistage, which is basically a CEO group. And she has 4 or 5 of us CEOs that she's kind of just our business coach. And when I first met her, we did a Zoom call. And she's a business coach, but she's a trained therapist.
Oh, okay.
And when I was talking to her, I felt like she understood me better. Maybe because she's a businesswoman, she's been in very high powered positions where the stress of running a business or being a top notch dog in a business,
right.
Along with having her own issues, was a way for me to like relate.
Yeah.
Where my other therapist, who I love to death, it was just that he understood my personal side but didn't understand my business side.
Yeah.
Which I
get that.
Which is crazy, which is totally understandable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not his job. His job is to help me with my personal, the psychological problem that I'm having.
Right.
But during the period I stopped to the time I started with Meredith, I was having a little bit of a drinking issue. And one of my close neighbor friends, Curry and Corey, they're Curry and Corey Park. They live right next to me. Curry, she's very much into the... what's the word?
Holistic.
Thank you. That's the word. Holistic. And she, prior to meeting or when she met Corey, she was a heavy smoker.
Okay.
And Corey was like, if you want a date.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't want smoking breath.
Right.
Kisses. And so she went to, So she went to the same place we go to, but she was living in San Diego. She didn't go to Meredith. She went to Meredith's partner or I don't know how they're all connected, but this lady introduced me to Meredith. And so I called Meredith. We were BSing and, talking. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Talked to my therapist at the time. And he wasn't really keen on it.
Really?
And I was just like, I want to try something new.
Yeah.
It's time for me to try something new. And so I got on my first Zoom with Meredith. And right then and there, I knew I found my new support.
Yeah.
And you guys don't know her. She's, I don't know how old she is even. But congratulations on being soon to be mom.
Yeah, 7 months.
Really, really proud of that and really excited for you. But she was able to talk to me in a way that I don't know if any other therapist has ever talked to me.
Yeah.
And like,
we've had a few therapists in our life.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. But like, to have that connection, I had the same connection with her first session.
Did you?
Like, just like, oh, she's totally chill.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell her anything.
Right. And there's no judgment.
No. And she's like, all right, cool, let's go.
And like, I didn't know this prior to all this, but she had her own battle with stuff.
Right.
And I don't need to go into that. That's for her to expose or talk or even talk about. But she was like getting to my soul when she started talking to me. Yeah. And I just felt like, okay, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
So I did my first session of hypnotherapy. And I'm not going to lie.
You were skeptical initially.
I was super skeptical because we were doing it over Zoom. It wasn't in person.
Right.
Didn't really know what to think, right? Like, because, you know, I watched.
Like, is she going to make me bark like a dog?
Right. Like, am I going to quack like a dog?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the thing was, I was doing it at my office, even probably not the best of choices.
We were all staring through your glass at
what
you were doing.
Dude, I was like, the first time she was like, put your hands up in the air.
I didn't see that.
Right? You saw that, right? And she was like, focus on a color. And I'm like, okay. My favorite color is green, forest green.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, forest green. And she's like, no, just bring it in front of you. And I'm just like, okay, is anybody going to watch me do this while I'm in my office? And at some point, I shut my eyes and I was gone.
Yeah, dude. The breathing.
The breathing. The beginning breathing, for any of you guys, you know, part of hypnosis is finding a way to slow down your breath.
Right.
Slow down your heartbeat, heart rate. Trying to, you know, get quiet in your mind.
Yeah.
And if anybody knows me, I'm not quiet in my mind ever. But I was able to bring it down to a manageable level. Like, I still heard things. I still heard, you know, the bus starting or somebody, you guys laughing. I still heard that.
I want to say I started the boat up during.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear that. No, I didn't even hear that.
Really?
And it because it's selective hearing, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you're in that mode, you only hear things that are so common to you.
Right.
And so the first experience, we talked about a little bit of my past with my father, the situations that happened with my family, and then we talked a little bit about my drinking. Not so much about my drinking.
Right.
Because she didn't want to bombard me.
And it's progressive.
It's progressive, right? It's not like you do one thing and you're done.
Right.
And then I went to my second one a week after. And that, I have to say, was kind of like that big change for me.
Okay.
And we started talking about drinking. We started talking about, like, my problems, my issues, you know, like my OCD and my ADHD. And we started talking about deeper about my father and my relationship with him, my relationship with my mother, who most of you don't know but is not good right now. You know, and I just was able to talk to her, and we did 25 minutes of hypnosis, and I came out of that. I remember when I came out the first time.
Dude, you were so relaxed.
Right. But do you remember you said my eyes looked like I was exhausted?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just like EMDR. When you have a really good session of EMDR, it's like you ran a marathon.
100%.
Yeah.
And so, like, the second time, I felt like a fucking $1 million.
You did. Every time you pop out of your office after...
Better and
you
better.
You can see it was progressing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so after the second one, I think I just realized I'm buying into this.
Mm-hmm.
And
free your mind and your ass will follow.
Yeah. And dude, I'm telling you, like, the second session, and then I went into the third session. And that was, to me, the biggest change, because I realized that my drinking was totally controllable. That I knew exactly what I needed to do. And the funny thing is, I had to label it for what it was.
Okay.
It's a distraction.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And for me, I named it something so that when I start to think about it, I'm like, stop distracting me.
Right.
And then I didn't get it.
I totally get it because I had the same thing. Yeah.
Right. And so after my third session, no, it was my second session. No, third session. That's when you were doing the boat.
Right.
And I was talking to Meredith. I was like, listen, I've got my coworker here. He's my sergeant. And like, I feel like he's been trying things and it's just maybe not working. I really think it's worth him trying. Like, can we do something? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. So I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to sponsor 4 sessions. And I knew, like, this was not about, like, oh, me doing a good deed. I guess it is. But, like, it was me, like, with Jeff, and you're going to hear this now for the first time, over the course of Jeff's employment with me and him being a coworker, I've seen a gradual change in him. And when he first came, he was
high strung,
yeah, a little bit anxious, a little bit scared, mm-hmm. Not really, not comprehending the way I run companies and how I do things. And, you know, you came from a way different, you know, company, the style of business, no judgment to them, but that's how they did it.
Right.
And I saw that, you know, the little things were getting to you when really it shouldn't have even mattered.
Right.
But it was because you're so not used to how we do things.
Right.
And so over time, you've definitely gotten better over it. But I really did believe, like, you and I struggled through the same things.
Right.
Different ways,
right,
different approaches, but we all struggle the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to her, I said, let's try it. And so that's what happened.
Yeah.
And so now on to you.
No, the journey has been the same.
Yeah.
And having the opportunity with her was, I did my 3rd session on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So tonight's my 4th.
Okay.
So tonight's going to be like, I feel the breakthrough night.
Yeah.
Breakthrough session. But same things. My body tells me when I'm feeling anxiety, and it usually starts in my feet and goes right to my stomach, right?
Okay.
So she would say, it's just a distraction, right?
Yeah.
And your feet and your stomach are telling you that, hey, you're starting to feel it.
Right.
And so it's so funny, right? Like, she gives you the anchor words and the things that you need to focus on and wake up to and things like that.
Yep.
So now I sit there when I feel the anxiety coming on. Like, if my foot starts shaking like it is now,
right,
just say, thanks, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's the same with you.
Sure.
Hey, I kind of feel like I want a shot. No. Stop distracting me, right?
Right.
And it's so rudimentary,
so simple,
in its nature, right?
Right.
But it's so, I have found, like, the same peace you felt afterwards.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll come out of the room after a session, I'll be like, wow. Like, the 3rd session Saturday was really tough,
okay,
for me, but I came out like, oh.
So that was my 2nd session.
See,
yeah.
So like, there's, everybody's different as the progression goes,
yeah,
but I've never thought I would be hypnotized.
Well, that's the crazy part, right?
Right, like, oh, whatever, right, that's voodoo.
And you're like, totally. And I don't know about you, but like, when somebody told me about hypnotherapy, I was like, oh, so what am I going to do? Fall asleep and like wake and like,
right,
you're going to be able to tell me to say things I didn't want to say,
right?
Like, and it was complete opposite.
It is not even close to that.
I'm 100% aware of where I'm at.
Which makes me question these guys who go, you're out.
Right.
Okay. Bark like a dog.
Right.
Right. I think that's all BS.
I do.
Maybe it's real. I don't know.
I have not asked. I want to ask Meredith once. Like,
just,
you know,
see.
Just to see what her thoughts are.
Right, right, right.
Maybe we could talk to her, you know, when she's on the cast with us.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, because she'd be... One, she's a great human being.
Yeah.
But she's such well-versed in what she does, along with everything that she's been through in her own life.
Right.
Has made it, like, I guess that's what makes it so easy to talk to her, because she understands.
It resonates with her. Like, we all, like, the circle is very small.
Yep.
We all have our own things and our own issues that we deal with. But, like, she relates and like she speaks to it. Like,
right,
she goes, I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but I had kind of the same issues. And I go, that's awesome. Thank you for the reality of it.
It makes it feel like it's not like we're, you know, we know we're snowflakes, but we're not the snowflake.
Right,
the
right,
only
that,
snowflake.
Not the only snowflake.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jesse's famous line. He always said
when
I started working out with him, he was like, Dave, you're a snowflake, but you're not the only snowflake. Or you're not the biggest snowflake.
Yeah, you're not the biggest.
Yeah.
Biggest one. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I'm going to continue with Meredith. I've already discussed it, and because I see the value in it, like,
yeah,
like there is an effect,
100%.
Like, my thing is sugar,
okay,
right? And like at night, like after dinner, which I'm meal prepping, which I'm eating a really good dinner now.
Right. That's awesome.
Right. Like total protein, veggies, right? Like Jesse wants us to do.
Right.
I'm crushing it. My wife loves it. We're meal prepping. But then I get my little sweet tooth at about 7 o'clock. So I'll go in and I'll grab a protein bar, like a chocolate peanut butter protein bar.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, but I don't need one every night.
Well, I mean, I think that one of the things that, like, and we're kind of going off topic, but it's also really good to, because you're a part of it.
That's my thing.
That's your thing.
Right.
You're better off doing that than getting a regular piece of chocolate, because now you're getting protein.
Right, right.
And, like, you know, we have the protein bars down in my office that are, like, bomb.
Oh, they're amazing. What are they? Mr. What is it?
What's his name? The guy who...
Mr. Something.
Yeah, he's the one who does the cooking shows. The not the cooking shows. He does the restaurant.
I can't remember his name,
but
they're awesome.
Super bomb. Yeah. They're super bomb.
They're awesome.
And they're like 40 grams of protein and very little anything else.
Right.
And if you're I think if you're taking that down rather than a piece of actual chocolate with no quality substance,
right?
You're doing something good. Like that's
it's better. Well, she teaches, and she teaches you, she taught me, the pause.
Right.
You need to pause when you have that thought that I need some sugar, I need to drink, I need whatever my vice is.
Yeah.
Take a pause. Do you really need it?
Do you really need it?
And like, I did it the other night. I walked into the kitchen, and I'm like looking up at the cabinet, and I'm like, pause.
Right.
I don't need it. Right. And I turn around and walk down. I'm like, holy crap, it works.
It does.
I'm like, it works.
I think the crazy part of it is that the hypnosis part is... It gets you to get to a certain point of peace and relaxation.
Yes.
And like that's something that you and I don't get naturally, right? Our brains are a certain way. Constantly thinking about something, whether it's positive or negative, it's always thinking.
Mm-hmm.
In that 30 minutes with her, it's like there's nothing happening around me.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
Do you feel your feet and your hands?
I will tell you this, and this is something I probably should do that you do, is you do it without shoes. Right. I do it with shoes because I'm at my office.
Yeah.
And I find that two things. I get stiff.
Ah, okay.
And then my feet, I move my feet a lot. And like, as you're probably watching, my feet move around a lot.
Right.
I'm not anxious. I feel great today.
But we're busy legs, busy feet.
Busy legs, busy feet because that's how we move. We're constantly moving, right?
Like, right.
To move, you got to use your feet. Like that's how I
But do they get heavy? Do you feel them get heavy? Because dude, I've felt completely disattached from my body a couple times with her. Like everything is so relaxed and heavy. Yeah.
See, not heavy.
Interesting.
I can tell you that like one of the things that I feel is like, I keep my hands on the table and I find myself like maybe it is the heavy. Maybe that's actually what it is because I feel like I'm pushing down.
Yep.
But it's the heaviness of my
hands. Did you do the arm, light and one heavy? I'm telling you, man, old school people are going to sit here and say, oh, that's old. That's voodoo. That's this. Like, same thing with chiropractors. Oh, they're going to break you and hurt you
more. Of course.
I'm a believer. And I'm one of the biggest skeptics of things like that.
And I'm
full believer.
Right. Like, I went in there really being skeptical.
Yeah.
But, like, literally after the first one, I was like, okay, there's something to be said about this. Let's just kind of wait and see. And as time went on, and now I'm on my, fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
I just had
It's not like we keep track of each other or see each other every day or deal with each other. No. We might as well live together.
Basically. I mean,
work wife.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
You're the wife. I'm the husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I pay the bills, bitch. That was a good one. That was a perfect timing.
Can we edit that?
No, don't. No.
I walked right into that one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I totally. The one thing that I will say that, so I had mine yesterday, which you guys will hear this 2 weeks from now or a week from now, but we really got deep into like one of the things that like I struggle with, and I'm super open of saying this, is feeling alone and feeling like I am unsuccessful.
Which in the real world, it's polar opposite for you.
Right.
In your head.
In my head.
It's that.
Right. And the loneliness comes from growing up kind of just being on my own, being young, and I was really heavy. I had great friends, but at the end of the day, I was always alone. My brother and sister were older. They weren't home. If they weren't home, they were, you know, they had their own life. My dad was always working. My mom smothered me until I was probably out of the house. But it's also like the feeling like the loneliness of being on top of what I have to control, which is the businesses.
Right.
Like, I feel like it will take 1 second and I could ruin everything.
You know, it's funny you say this, because I've heard this from other CEOs and other leadership folks, that when you get there,
yeah,
it is lonely. Because nobody really understands the struggle that it took to climb there.
Sure.
And the struggle that it takes to stay there.
That's, like, I don't so much worry about staying there, because I have such a good team around me that, like, I feel like they keep me up there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's the funny part. I know I have the team, but yet I'm still feeling alone up there, because at the end of the day, everything weighs on my shoulders, right?
Absolutely. Right? I think that's perfectly normal.
Right. And so it's not about the money. It's not about anything. It's about the 250 people that work for me that I am responsible for. And
it's a big burden to bear.
What did someone say to me?
I totally get that.
Somebody told me the other day, I was talking about that, and they were like, if you have 250 employees, times it by two or three, because you also have to feed their families, wife and their kid and two kids. And so now you're in the thousand that rely on you.
Right.
And like, some people just don't think about that.
Right.
But I think about that because I really do respect that. Like, I love the fact that I can do that.
Right.
Or be a part of that. Right.
Yeah. But how do you get that? How do you process that, if you will, you know?
So one of the things that Meredith has been doing with me and is about, like, so one of the things, I don't know if she does with you, she's like, find your happy place. And my happy place has always been the water. Like, I love water.
Dude.
So I said, so the
crazy.
Lake.
Oh, my God.
On a boat. And I sat there, and nobody was with me. But everything was around me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, so let's just take that for a second. Like, think about that. You're alone, but everything's around you, so you don't feel alone. And I was like, no, I feel in my happy place. He's like, what's the difference between you being on top and everything below you? He's like, I said, well, because everything is in my peripheral vision.
Right.
Right? Like, you can only see so much here and there. As cops, you know, one of the big things is your peripheral vision.
Right.
PV is very important. Know what's coming behind you even. You should know. Right. You should have eyes behind your head. And with being in an ocean or in a lake, you have all the mountains, the trees, you have the crosswalk, the walking paths. You have island in front of you. And there could be no boat in sight, but you know there's somebody else there or something else there. When you're standing on top of that mountain, the only thing that's above you is clouds and the skies around you.
Right.
There's no visible.
It's so the visualization of that, the imagery, right?
Yeah.
It's so powerful, because my happy place, and I don't think we're violating HIPAA or anything.
No.
We're discussing our own problems.
Yeah.
Is Lake Tahoe.
So it's exactly the same.
It's the lake.
It's the lake.
Sitting on the beach, being in the forest in Lake Tahoe. That's where we find peace, right?
Right. Because I think what it is also, it's quiet.
Calming.
I don't know Lake Tahoe. I haven't been to Lake Tahoe in a long time. I mean, I bet there's parts of Lake Tahoe. Sapphire Cove is probably not so quiet.
No, there's better places
to go. I would assume, because I know that's a party area.
Yeah.
But like, when I, you know, even when we went to Barry Acid, that one time in a long time. I haven't been there in a long time.
Yeah, you were smiling a lot.
I was like, oh my God, I'm in like heaven.
Yeah.
Because like the water, you look at the water, it looks like glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going along with your boat and it's like you're breaking glass. You're like breaking this perpetual feeling of stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just like watch the waves and you turn around and I watched you guys. You guys were smiling. And I just looked out back in the waves and I'm like, it maybe it's some like, thing where you're, you know, for me, the lake, when I'm breaking it with the boat, it's like it is breaking glass, because the water looks so calm.
Yeah, Yeah.
And and that was what I told her. I said, I try, and I know 100% I am not alone in anything I do, because I could turn to any one of you, Tariq, Rodrigo, Mike, everybody.
Right.
I have all of you guys there. There's no question, and I don't discredit that. But it's like, and I think maybe this is why Rodrigo and I are so close.
Right.
Because Rodrigo was in my shoes
right.
a long time ago.
Right.
And where he had all these this thing on, he was the top guy in his company. He owned the company.
Right.
And he watched it go away.
Right.
And it's like, he's always telling me, like, he does say I'm a little bit more of a risk taker than he is.
Right.
Which I totally know.
Right.
But that, like, that's just who I am. Like, my gut will tell me yes or no.
Yeah.
And
it's worked out pretty good.
It's worked out pretty good, but right. it's also, I think, what made me a really good cop.
Yeah.
Was because I listened to my gut, and I didn't listen, like, to, sometimes your brain plays games.
We'll
talk you out of things. Mm-hmm. Where your gut will say, okay, you're good. Just go through it and do what you know how to do.
Your gut never lies.
Right.
It truly never lies.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that Meredith is teaching me more and more, to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Is be okay with just listening to your gut. Don't worry about, you know, what you're thinking or what other people think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she calls it noise.
God, this is crazy.
And she's like,
noise.
At some point, you need to stop listening to the noise and listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And then when that becomes the issue, then you need to start listening to your gut, because your gut will never make noise. When your stomach hurts, that's a different story.
Right.
But when you're listening to your gut, there is really no noise. It's a feeling.
Isn't it? We could talk forever on this, and I'm sure she can elaborate so much more on it. But, like, it's a whole new thing. It's a whole new dimension of our lives that now we're starting to get into.
Yeah.
And as we know, the mind is so powerful.
Yeah.
And it can do great things for you. It can do horrible things to
100%.
You. 100%. And now kind of exploring and, like, being able to find through hypnosis the peace. Right, because we're crazy.
Right,
our anxiety drives us crazy. We're always in overdrive. Like, we're always anticipating. We're always thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said it. Like, I used to go for hikes up San Bruno Mountain?
Okay,
in South City,
mm-hmm.
and get to the top, and I'd find a rock up there, and I'd sit there, totally peaceful.
Right,
and I'd always say, the peace is what I'm after.
Right,
and through hypnosis, you find it.
And it's there.
It's been there all along. Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's crazy. It's been around us so far for so long that we forget that it's there.
And we just didn't know how to tap back into
right.
it.
Right. And that's what she's taught me.
Yeah.
She's
amazing.
Dude, she's solid. I mean, I hope she, you know, I'm going to tell her we did this so she can listen to this. But yeah. She knows how much, like, she means the world to me. And
yeah.
I know she has a big impact on what's going on with you.
Yeah.
The great thing is that it's affordable.
Yeah.
It's not like,
yeah.
you know, EMDR started to get expensive, and, you know, expensive is relative to each person.
Right.
But like, when, you know, with EMDR, you really need to go once a week.
Yeah.
And same with, you know, hypnosis. You should go once a week.
You should go once a week.
You know, I missed last week, and I think you did. You didn't, because you ended up going Saturday.
I went Saturday.
I missed, and, like, I felt it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm getting to a pattern where this is actually helping me. Right. The greatest tool she gives us, beyond everything she does, is the recordings.
Oh. Every night before bed.
Yeah.
I put my headphones on, listen to my recording.
I did it once driving. Not a
oh
good
boy.
Idea. Not a good
hard idea. To drive. Well, no, you had Tesla, so you could drive with your eyes
but
closed.
But I didn't go to hypnosis. I was just listening.
Yeah.
And just listening to her and, like, getting that calm. It really calmed me down.
In a car.
But it was definitely not probably the smartest thing. And she told me not to do it again.
Yeah. Mm.
Not
advisable.
Yeah. Hashtag as I'm driving. Can you imagine?
Hashtag dumbass.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I'm driving the Tesla and I'm like this?
Dude, I saw you that one day doing this. I'm like, oh, he's deep.
Yeah.
He's gone. You weren't moving, dude.
No,
and you had this thing out there and you were looking at it. I'm like,
and the crazy part when you do it, and she's like, it's going to start getting closer. I'm like, no, it's not. Yes, it is.
And it's right by your face when you open your eyes.
I'm like, oh, Jesus.
It's like, some people will sit there and say, you guys are stupid. You're nuts. Right. I don't believe in this.
Right.
You're talking to two guys that, like, we don't take anything for granted. To, like, you got to prove things to us. You got to 100%. You got to make sure that we understand what it is.
Right.
And for us to to back this and to be down with it and 100%. Really throw ourselves into it, it's a lot.
It's and a it's lot. Good. And you know what? At the end of the day, the one thing I'll say is that, like, not everything works for everybody.
Right. Right.
And I didn't think this was going to work for me.
Right.
And it 100% working for me. Like,
it's amazing.
The mere fact that she's getting me to, like, listen to myself internally is something that I've never done.
Yeah.
I've like, in the sense of, like, calming myself down to start talking to myself.
Yeah.
The other part of it is I almost at a point where I feel like I could actually start reading again.
Oh, I was just going to bring that up, dude. I read 3 more chapters in that
Did
book
you?
Last. Yeah. I ordered a lamp for behind our couch so I can sit there and read at night. Off with the TV.
Yeah.
And I'm reading again, dude. I'm so excited.
That's dope.
I have the whole Jack Carr series of Terminal List to read.
Oh, really? Did you order the books?
I got all the books.
Dude.
So that's how hard is it for us to read?
Oh, it's
focus.
To focus. That's the part of it.
Right?
Is the focus that's
And
really
your mind's not somewhere else. I actually read that you're going to love this book. You got to finish reading it.
Yeah, I got to like really start it because it's sitting on my coffee table.
It's a really good story.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a good story.
I mean, we're kind of going off topic.
No, let's talk about it. Yeah.
We'll talk about it down the road. Great book. We'll talk about it. We'll bring a copy of it, or we'll talk about what the book is about and about our experience a couple weeks ago, which is actually last week. But
yeah.
Just so you guys timeline wise.
Yeah.
We spent some time in Dallas, and that would be a really cool thing to talk about.
And
where we went.
Oh.
So it was really cool. But
teaser.
Teaser. You know, I think one of the things that I'm learning through this process is, like, you know, what else can hypnosis do for somebody?
I think the sky's the limit. I think if you're able to shape people's mind and how they think of themselves to reinforce their positive self-worth, to say, I'm worthy, I'm grounded, I'm here. It sounds corny, right? It sounds corny. But, like, some people need to say it to themselves, the affirmations, right?
Yeah.
And to be able to instill that in you, in your subconscious, I hope I'm saying it right, Meredith, I'm sorry, conscious, subconscious portion of your brain.
Yeah, because there's, like, different...
There's two different levels,
Yep.
But to be able to instill that and then have that person be able to live their life and say, right now in this moment, I feel really grounded.
Yeah.
Right? It comes up, you know, you don't even mean it to, but it comes up. To be able to do that, what else can you unlock? I mean, really, what else can... If you can stop somebody from smoking for 20 years, or say stop somebody from drinking, or stop somebody from eating sugar, or to get into a weight loss program, just by instilling these anchor words...
And that's all it is.
That's all it is.
It's not like she's saying, oh, stop drinking. Like, there's never been, not one word about stop drinking.
Right.
It's about recognizing the problem.
The distraction.
Naming for me, I think naming was the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And naming it, the distraction, made me realize that that's all it is.
Right.
And, like, being able to communicate with my issue actually has been kind of crazy.
Kind of making friends with your demon.
That's what she said.
Did she really?
She said, you have to have a relationship with your demons.
Isn't it crazy?
Because if you have a relationship with your demons, you could acknowledge that they're there.
Yeah.
And if you don't want, if you try to ignore it, guess what? It's going to creep up. Every time you're not thinking about it, it's going to suddenly creep up. And that's what really, for me, alcohol has been. Alcohol has not been like, oh, I'm going to go drink.
Right.
It's like, for a moment, I'm thinking something, and then suddenly it creeps up. Right? Like, that's where it's really hard to, like, that's where this has been so easy, because I've been able to focus on what the problem is, name the problem, build a relationship with it, to understand that all it is a distraction.
But I think also in terms of getting well is we're embracing it.
Yep.
That we want to be better and well and healthy and healthy for those around us and our loved ones and friends.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't embrace it, if you don't throw yourself into it, it's not going to be successful. That's why it's not good for everybody. Like, we did EMDR, and EMDR is a similar form of hypnosis.
Yep.
It's different, but similar.
Similar.
But you have to engage yourself in it. You have to do it.
You have to embrace it.
And if anybody's wondering why we call this scattered chaos, it's because this is how our minds work. And dealing with all the things, the trauma and things that we've gone through makes us this way.
Right.
But at some point, we're going to say unscattered chaos because we're working on
it. I mean, I don't think I don't think there will ever be a point where I'm not scattered just because of how I am as in a business.
Until you get on medication for your ADHD,
which I just and that's another thing that I told.
Does she think you have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not the anxiety or anything.
No,
like that.
She thinks I do have ADHD. She also said something about I brought up that my. Racing brain.
Oh, okay.
And so we talked about that yesterday. But that's something, the thing is, it's so quick for doctors to just say, let's get on medication.
Right.
And like, I'm at a point where, I take Lexapro for my depression, very low dose. I think I'm like 10 milligrams, total basic level of depression medicine. Mm-hmm. And everything else is vitamins. Mm. And, getting back on B12, which is really helpful, and I don't know if you know this, and actually Jesse told me about this today because I sent him my DNA. So I don't know if I told you.
He did tell me about that.
So I did this 10X swab thing of my DNA. Jason Taylor is a good buddy of mine. Roddy Remedius. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Is there a lot of DNA down there?
Yeah, no, it's common kinda, DNA. Common DNA.
Kind of all comes back to one place.
Ronnie, I'm going to make sure
Ronnie,
you listen
love
to this.
You. I don't know you, but I love you.
He talked about this thing that I guess Joe Rogan had this guy on who does this DNA swab test thing.
Nice.
It's called 10X. It's, I guess, affiliated somehow with Grant Cardone, who I'm not a fan of. But that's here nor there. And basically, you do a swab, you send it in, and they basically tell you your DNA breakup, what you're lacking based on your DNA, not based on your blood or anything. Just, looking at your mom and dad's side, what is missing. And almost everything they hit on was basically my depression, ADHD, brain racing. Then they talked about my lower gut and my upper gut, which they didn't know I had the gastric bypass.
Right.
And so it
that's all, uncanny.
Right. It's all part of your DNA.
Right.
And so because like my mom has, without having the gastric bypass, has the same stomach issues I have where you can't eat everything. And when we do eat something bad, boom, we're right into the restroom.
Right.
My dad could eat everything, but he just was unhealthy.
Okay.
And so part of the results, said, hey, more iron. So I added iron pills.
Okay.
And then B12, which is very hard. So iron, for those obviously in B12, you can get that with meat.
Right.
I'm a gastric bypass patient. Eating a lot of meat is very hard for me. We came up with some ideas today. Hopefully that will work. But he said B12 is such an important vitamin to take because it counteracts depression and anxiety.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, Meredith said the same thing yesterday to me.
It's a small circle, man.
And dude, there's again, Jesse said this today, Dave, I read your thing. 75% is noise. It's trying to buy you to buy the next thing.
Right.
But the 25% is dead on. And this is something that when you do these kind of tests, don't think you're going to get the end-all, be-all answer.
Right.
And with therapy, I've never, ever looked at it as going to be the end-all, be-all.
Right.
And one of the things I'm learning more and more as I've been in therapy now consistently three years.
Yeah.
Regularly, meaning every week I've gone.
Yeah.
Is that it will work if you're willing to do the work.
I think that's 100% of it. And this goes along with a lot of our friends,
mm-hmm.
A lot of our law enforcement and first responder friends is smashing that stigma. Look at how comfortable we are talking about it.
That's so easy now.
I mean, and this is the key to... I know maybe if you're still in uniform active duty, you might be hesitant to talk about these things, right? But talking about our mental health, this is a conversation we talk about almost daily.
Every day.
Some conversation about it. How you feeling? What's going on?
Right.
We check in on each other. You do that with your friends. You have to.
Right.
Even if they're not first responders, law enforcement, veterans. Check in with people. Check in with each other. How you feeling today, man? What's going on? It's a question that some people probably look and say, why are you asking?
Sure.
But like... we're talking about therapy. There is no shame in getting help.
No.
Zero.
And last week we talked to our friend Ricky.
Yeah,
Leckleitner,
Ricky. Yeah, yeah.
From Blue Badge Coffee.
Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. you know, being that he's still in uniform.
Yeah.
And then you have Greg Rogan from, you know,
Overwatch. Yeah.
And, you know, they're doing two really big things by breaking that stigma.
Yeah.
And I think if people more in uniform start talking about it, I think it's going to be less and less a stigma anymore.
Yeah, because, like, we're held at such a high standard. 100%. Like, people, a lot of people do, maybe not everybody, look up to the veterans, the military, law enforcement, say, wow, if those guys are comfortable saying, I have problems, I can't cope, I get help, yeah. I go out for workouts, I go rucking, I go lifting, I go whatever to make me better mentally, then it's okay for anybody else to do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't feel ashamed. Like, you ever want to talk to us? We're always here.
Dude, reach out.
Call and just say, hey, man, I saw your pod. I heard what you were saying. I can relate. I'm not a cop. I'm not a firefighter. I'm not a vet. Yep. I work at a, you know, whatever, Safeway.
Right.
But I got stress. How do you guys cope with it?
Yeah.
This is how we fix each other.
And I think one of the things that kind of just popped in my head is, like, one thing we should think about doing is having a hotline.
You know, that'd be cool.
Like, just, you know, we got to figure out how it would
or
work.
Or a talk line.
A talk line or something. You know, that maybe not a hotline, but a talk line. You know, if we can be a support, why not? If we can lead people to the right direction.
Yeah.
I mean, on the last topic, you know, I was addicted to TikTok last night a little bit.
Shocking.
But I was watching a gentleman who was speaking to a crowd of LEOs, vets, first responders and their families.
Right.
And he made the comment, which actually still is in my head, is it not verbatim. I'm not saying it verbatim. He said, your husband or wife goes to work and deals with all these different things and learns how to cope with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes home and is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the person you should worry about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the guy who's leaving the house.
Right.
Because he's trained to do what he's going to do because he wants to come home.
Yeah.
Worry about the guy who's quiet.
Yeah. And who's keeping it in.
Who's keeping it in. Those are the kind of people that you have to acknowledge and say, hey, how was your day? Oh, it was hard? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And even if they don't talk about it, at least they have... they feel like they can talk about it.
Yeah.
The other part of it, he said, is that, and I don't know how you and Rock were, like Jenny and I, when we were living just us together, it was pretty much, you know, I didn't really talk all about because I knew it scared her.
Yeah.
Or maybe not scared her, just she got worried. When I was living, when we moved in with her parents to save money, the conversation started to talk more. But I remember Laura and Mike were just like, you just... tell the story without any like sense of like fear or any emotion to it. And I'm like, oh, I did. And so in hindsight, that should have been a sign.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming. It should have been a sign even to myself. Like, wait, they're telling me something I didn't know.
Right. And you're like, just telling a story.
I'm just telling a story of what I had.
Yeah.
It's like if I go home today and Jenny says, how was your day? It was great. You know, we did a podcast and got to see Tariq's kids and everything's great. I'm having a great day. But that's not how us working the streets were.
No. And whole nother
episode.
Of coping.
Yeah.
And stories that we all have. And it's the quiet, keep it in that we need to stop.
Yeah. And I think to kind of end this, to circle back around is, you know, find what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
What Jeff and I say doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. We're just giving you our own, you know, experience and trying to help everybody as we can. And so what I'd like to do is I'll make sure Tariq puts the link to Meredith's website, also to the link of different, you know, services. She's amazing. I'm assuming she's still taking on clients.
Let's hope.
I hope. hopefully we'll keep her so busy that she only has time for just the people that join from our group. Other than that, I mean, find whatever helps you, please.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just say a couple weeks ago, we lost a sergeant from East Palo Alto PD. He took his own life. Unfortunately, we don't really know why, and it's not really our business. What I will say is that we want to send all the love, support, anything, all the words to East Palo Alto PD, their officers, the family, and the family of this officer who unfortunately chose or felt this was the only way to get away from whatever demons he was dealing with. And I hope he's up with God and feeling at peace now, and I hope his family knows that we love them and we'll support them. Urban Paws is always here for anybody, and so I think that's my last word. Anything?
No, I would echo that, and just we don't want it to get to that point. Yep. There's so many resources. Meredith is one of them, one of thousands of licensed therapists that can help you. Yeah, sorry, that kind of hit me.
We just saw him.
We did a we did a seminar with them, and we'd seen him 2 weeks prior to his death, and I think that's what resonates most is that he was looked okay. He looked tired. He looked really tired. I remember that.
Yeah, that I remember.
That struck me. But just reach out. You've got children. You've got friends, family, coworkers that love you and care for you. You can make it through. It's going to be hard. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to suck. People around you are going to not know what you're doing or how you're feeling. But if you take a moment to say, I just need help. Like, I don't know how to help you.
Yeah.
You don't know how to help me, but a professional can get in there and say, all right, this might work for you. Sure. It's not going to work for 100%. Them. You just got to try. If it doesn't work, try something else. You know, it's really important. And like the service that Meredith is providing to you and I know she does it for hundreds of other people.
Yep.
I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you to introduce me to her and hook me up on that. I'm going to continue with her for forever until the bank account's empty. I don't know.
Whatever comes first. Right.
But my family deserves that.
Right.
My friends around me deserve me to be good.
Yeah.
You deserve it. Jenny, your family, your friends.
Yep.
It's just that important. All right. Don't leave things behind. You can make it.
Yeah.
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
There's 100% light at the end of the tunnel. I think that is a great way to end this podcast.
Yeah, brother.
Good job, buddy.
You too, man.
All right. Thank you guys, everybody, for watching Scatter Chaos. Dave, Jeff, we'll see you next week.
Later.
Talk to you soon.
Good.